We're back on the We Are Here podcast, only on southcoast.fm, southcoast.fm/subscribe to join that mailing list. Today, it's Drew Furtado, and we're talking about his latest film, Restart 2020. He's got a Kickstarter running for it, and if you're interested, you go to drewfurtado.com. You click on the Kickstart, or the link to the Kickstarter, or just click on the Restart 2020 in his navigation. That'll take you to the Kickstarter page where you can help donate and invest a little bit in this project of his, highlighting the South Coast. And I love having the conversations with folks who are at the intersection of art and creativity and business and entrepreneurship. There's a healthy mix, I think, that both artists and business owners alike share. And it's just a great conversation all around. If you want to see what he's doing, how he's created these posters, you've probably seen his posters around, all around at least New Bedford, Fall River area. Why he got into it, how he thinks about doing a new poster, and what new posters he has coming next, of course, after he gets this film out. It's an exciting conversation. I hope you enjoy it. All right, let's dive into talking to Drew.
I'm Drew Furtado. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a digital artist. I'm a media arts educator at Fairhaven High School. My art kind of revolves around, you know, digital art. So I make a lot of travel posters of the area. I've been working on some documentaries and some short films of the area. And then I get to teach that to high school kids every day, which is kind of fun.
I don't know how I came across you, and you probably get this often, where I've seen your posters in places, at places. I've always seen them, and I saw, like, I don't know, I saw one, and then I'd go to another place, and I saw another one. I was like, huh, that's that same kind of style. And I think it was just like that. I saw one for Fall River when I went wherever I was. And then I saw one for New Bedford. I was like, whoa, that's like the same style. And then, you know, with using Instagram a lot more than just seeing the connections and seeing it crop up, these posters that you're creating, where and why? When did that click to say you wanted to do this? And why did you continue to do it? Why do you continue to do it?
Well, you know, my poster making endeavor started in Fall River in about 2011, 2012. At the time, I was working for Fox 25 News in Boston as a news photographer, and we traveled New England, and everywhere I went, people would be like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from Fall River. And people would be like, ugh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, you live in that hellhole? I'm like, well, yeah, I like it there. I love it here. Like, you know, so it was kind of like a calling for me to be like, you know what? I want to do something that kind of proved people wrong. And I want to kind of show that people are kind of proud to be from where they are. And so I didn't want to hear from people from Boston anymore, you know, kind of just trash on the city. So I just wanted to do something that was a little bit positive. So that's where it all started in 2012.
And how did you, like, just continue? I talked to a lot of entrepreneurs, and they're getting into this game. I'd say it's a good mix. I'd say like half of the people sort of just fall into becoming a quote unquote entrepreneur. And actually, even before I get down that path, do you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
You know, I don't. I understand that. Like, I feel like I'm acting like an entrepreneur, and a lot of my decisions kind of come from entrepreneurship, but I don't necessarily consider myself an entrepreneur. I just feel like I'm just someone who just wants to share community pride.
Yeah.
I have a skill set that I've been able to develop that I wanted to share with people. So I didn't go to school for business. I'm a terrible business person. I hate taking people's money. So
we'll try to change that today.
So in that regard, I don't consider myself an entrepreneur at all. Just someone who just wants to make art, and if people appreciate it and want to partake, then that excites me.
So you commissioned the first poster, was it Fall River, and you commissioned it to yourself, basically, right? Is like, hey, no, I want to show off like this city and some of the historical attributes or some of the key milestones of the city, and then what? And then how did you get to the next one? Is it just somebody saw it and like, hey, can you do it for New Bedford too? Can you do it for, well, now I see you're doing Vermont, Mattapoisett, Block Island. How did you get to the next step?
Yeah. So, I mean, I originally, when I started this, I had just moved into a new apartment in Fall River, and selfishly, I didn't have any art on the walls, and, I wanted something, and I wanted to learn how to make, how to use Adobe Illustrator. I've never used it before. So then I started seeing all these people making like really cool poster, travel posters for like video game locations. And I was like, wow, I really want to do that. So that's, and then I was like, oh, I want to do something about Fall River. And then like I launched a Kickstarter in 2012. And then, you know, like I sent posters all across the country, and I realized I wasn't the only person that loved Fall River. And then I was like, you know what? I wonder if there's other people out there who live in communities that are not as well popular or also kind of like struggling. And I wonder if people can resonate with some sort of positive message coming from their community. So a lot of the work that I've kind of been focusing on has been kind of been on like those communities that, you know, people don't really want to go to. Like I was just fascinated with this idea of creating art for places that people aren't, you know, looking forward to.
Is that something that you sort of commission like an artist might do a painting for somebody? They knock on your door, they say, hey, we're from the city of Providence. Can you do a poster for us? Or does it just like sort of fan feedback? They say, hey, Drew, like, you know, we love your other posters. It'd be awesome if you did it for Providence. Is it more formal where they commission you and pay you to do a certain type of poster?
A lot of these posters are kind of derived from personal memories or personal moments of places that I like and have visited and have had good moments in. And a lot of the times I just do it for myself. And then I just hope that someone out there appreciates it. It resonates with them. You know, what really inspires me is like a lot of these, like there's a poster of like what the Westport River. It's a really, one of my favorite posters. It's right on the river that features a boat and someone fishing, like an older man fishing with his two grandchildren. And that was like a memory that I had as a childhood, as like with my grandfather and my cousin. And then I put that in a poster mainly because I wanted that hanging up somewhere in the house. And then I shared it. And then people were like, oh my God, I love that poster. And that poster has become extremely popular. But that's what interests me is that like there's other people that have very similar experiences, and I'm not just like an isolated person who have these like opinions about places, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at the posters on your Dribble account. I love the New Hampshire poster. Like you know, it's just an awesome poster. Like I would put that up, you know, and went to New Hampshire for a small vacation with my family over the course of the summertime. But I don't have deep admirations for New Hampshire, but this poster makes me really like it.
Yeah, and that poster, like, you know, it was the same thing. Like, you know, people in this area, you either go to New Hampshire or you go to Florida, right? And it's like, we would go to New Hampshire. And as a kid, you know, we'd hit up the Storyland and the Conway and Franconia Notch Park. And that's when I was like, I brought my wife up there to show her, and I was like, I want to make a poster of this place. So, yeah.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome stuff. Have you ever had anybody approach you from like a real branding play? Like has a tourism board or even a brand or a business that's in a particular state that has deep ties into a state or city to like say, hey, can you do it for us, but with your flair on it?
I did a poster series for the Fall River Marine Museum. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And then I've gotten posters into local shops, into local galleries. I've got a lot of work at the Drawing Room downtown with down there, so people can purchase things there. You know, other places have asked for them. A lot of politicians have reached out to me for posters, and I politely say no thank you because I don't want to get involved in politics.
One of the things that I usually focus on each episode of this particular podcast is, you know, it's called We Are Here. As I mentioned before, it's a sort of way to claim to say like, look, there's some amazing things happening on the South Coast, either people or primarily businesses, at least on this podcast, business organization, nonprofits, movements, things like that. And the thing I bring up a lot, or I question the guests on, is like, what is it that makes, you know, New Bedford versus Fall River a thing in your eyes? Or typically it's about business, right? It's like, what, you know, why do you think that there's like these hard lines not even just Fall River, New Bedford, but towns, you know, surrounding towns around it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. You know, you've got the North Shore, you've got Boston, you've got the South Shore, you got Western Mass, you got all these pockets of cities and communities that identify as like a regional entity. You look at Cape Cod, you look at some of these places, and like, I guess Fall River, New Bedford didn't really have that for a long time, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when the hospitals came by and they started branding the South Coast mantra, I feel like that's when people started to realize, oh, you know what? Maybe we are connected. Maybe we are have more similarities than our differences. Maybe we can collectively kind of work together to make this region a better place. I don't know if a lot of people are aware that that's happening, you know, because I think, yeah, if you're in Fall River, you're pretty isolated from people in New Bedford, you know.
Yeah.
I was honestly quite excited to see what DAPMA, the Massachusetts Institute of Art and Design, I don't know if they started or if they teamed up with another organization to do like a whole art festival in Fall River. I think it was called Fabric Fest. And it was like really cool to see that kind of happen, that like collaboration between a New Bedford entity with, you know, a Fall River entity, and to bring art to places that typically don't have that kind of thing. So I thought that was just awesome.
There are definitely some movements that are happening slowly but surely, which is good. Sadly, COVID slowed down a few of them, especially a lot of the efforts that a friend of the show, Patty Rigo, has been doing with Viva Fall River and a couple of her other organizations that she works with. There's a certain vibe, a certain, I don't know, I guess just vibe. Like when I'm going to like the co-creative downtown in New Bedford or Groundwork, or just hanging out downtown when it was legal to go to a coffee shop. You know, there's a certain vibe, right? It was just different feeling. Fall River does lack that in, maybe it's their downtown scene. Maybe they need to fortify it. And this is somebody who lives in Fall River, right? It's like, maybe they need to fortify it and there needs to just be more, I don't know, local business boots on the ground to kind of get that same energy that you might see from like a downtown New Bedford Inc. or a Love the Ave movement in New Bedford.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, I was kind of inspired to see like, you know, AHA was trying to get like a thing going down in Fall River to try to get that like central organization. You know, I think that's the thing about Fall River is like it has a lot of artists and a lot of talent, but they're all like locked away in some weird mill throughout the city. You know, there's no thing that's uniting all these different artists together. And I felt like in New Bedford, there is that like cohesion almost, you know, like it feels like everyone's on the same page and on the same team and trying to accomplish the same similar goals. So I think that's probably the one thing kind of lacking in that area.
It took me 6 years as a podcaster and somebody who does like video stuff and YouTube, like nothing that to your degree, not a filmmaker, but somebody who picks up a Fuji X-T3 and films himself and puts it on YouTube, right? And creates audio files. And it took me 6 years to be like, you know what? I guess I'm an artist. Why? Because I keep creating stuff. I keep hating it and I keep trying to do it again, right? Like I've got this vicious cycle of creativity and I come up with new ideas. Some things I like, most things I dislike, you know, and I get feedback from people and the world keeps moving. Where do you think do you think that the lines are less blurred now from, hey, a business owner can be a creative artist. Like they can create content to bring the city up. So it might not be easel, pen, paint, or digital art, but it could be somebody picking up their iPhone and stitching together a vlog or something like that. And it highlights creativity. It highlights their business. It highlights their community. Are you happy to see more of that stuff? Do you see a clear line where it's like, nah, it's not really art. This is more of like promotional stuff.
For me, now this is like the art teacher coming out, right? Like for me, I want people to feel comfortable, to be able to express whatever they want to express, no matter the medium. So if people are painting, if they're creating sketches, or if they're, you know, making videos for TikTok and Instagram and stuff, like, I think that's awesome. I think the world needs more of that. I think we need to be able to express ourselves in ways that are uninhibited by our fear of an audience. And I think the more that comes out, that just makes me happy. Like, you know, I know a lot of older people like to dog on teenagers, like, oh, they're just spending all their time on TikTok. But then if you actually like stop and look at what they're creating on TikTok, you're like, wow, you're completely transforming this whole video medium, and you're communicating a whole new way of communicating. So I just get so excited about it.
Yeah. 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 I don't know about you, Drew, but I feel like we're the old people now.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny because like my students have been talking, they're all into TikTok. And last week I was like, let's check it out. And I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I can see it now. Yeah, yeah. I think people have to get over their fear of failure because, yeah, it's a risky endeavor, right? You're putting yourself out there. You could fail. You know, people may not appreciate what you're doing. So people retract and they don't do it. And I think that these skills are valuable. And I think it brings a new value to everything that people are trying to do. So I think the more people become more comfortable with like sharing their own message, I think that is better, you know, because you don't need it. And I tell the kids this all the time, if you're not going to tell your story, who is?
Right.
You know what I mean? We live in a world now where journalists are becoming completely obscure because now there's all these layoffs. TV stations aren't covering these communities. So who else will tell these stories of people in these areas? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't need a newspaper to get your word out about the thing you're trying to do. You know, you can actually do that yourself.
Speaking about getting the word out yourself, you have Restart 2020, which is I'll let you tell the tale, of course, but it's this film that you're funding yourself, creating yourself, producing yourself, editing yourself, shooting yourself, promoting yourself. Give us the premise of Restart 2020 and what you have going on around it.
that's also another understatement. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I was like, yeah, it'll be fun to, you know, produce a film and get this word out. And it is still fun, but it's like, oh yeah, this is definitely a lot of work. So this whole film started as a brainchild. A former student of mine, Alyssa Botello, had invited me to attend her local film screening for a film called Junkie. And she made this film as a college student at URI. And it told a story about a South Coast person who is becoming addicted to drugs and life is becoming a dead end until he meets a police officer and the police officer changes his life. And she told the story, got a bunch of people together in town hall in Fairhaven and had a really remarkable event. And that got me thinking like, wow, what, you know, if I had an opportunity to tell a story that I was deeply passionate about, you know, what would that be? And then I didn't really think about it. it just kind of stopped there.
Yeah.
And then I was downtown in 2019, last summer, during the New Bedford Folk Festival, and we had a tent set up and we were selling posters. And a man came up to me, asked me where, you know, to get something to eat. We start chatting. He tells me he's from Montana, and he's like, "How did this happen? I've never even heard of New Bedford. How did this like city just become an awesome place for the arts?" And then that's when I was like, "Oh, wait a minute. Someone should tell this story." Mm-hmm. And that's where this film started. And so this film, we started shooting in February of 2020. The film was designed to tell a positive story about the artists in New Bedford who were trying to make the city a better place for everybody. And then I wanted to explore like, well, how did New Bedford become this artist creative city? It didn't just happen overnight. So how did that happen? And then we all remember what happens in March.
Yep.
COVID-19 shuts down the city, and it's like, okay, well, we started shooting and now what? And then we started seeing these artists start to do some really cool stuff in the middle of a global pandemic to just try to, you know, bring even more light to people's eyes. And I was like, okay, this is a story that we need to tell now. You know, our story is changing. So it's been a really exciting process.
Would you say things are still on track for your, you know, projected completion date or?
Yeah. I mean, well, yes and no.
Yeah.
So initially the plan was to, you know, follow some artists throughout some projects of 2020. There was some artists that we met that had some really large projects that they were designing. Like there was going to be a major art installation in downtown New Bedford. There was going to be a major art show focusing on some people that make New Bedford a great place. So this girl was doing all these paint portraits of people in the city. Another artist, Allison Wells, was doing launching her first major show at the Whaling Museum called In the Neighborhood, where she's highlighting the neighborhoods in New Bedford. So it's like, oh, this is going to be so exciting. The plan was to kind of tell those stories. And then in December, January, we were going to release this film to a bunch of film festivals and maybe try to organize a local screening. COVID-19 tells us, no, that's not going to happen. Because now all the film festivals have closed their doors. They're postponing. We can't have local gatherings, right? We can't have more than, I think the governor just said there's 10 people indoors, 25 outdoors. So we can't even get together to have a film screening. So then my idea was like, what if we just brought the film to people? Like, what would that look like? How would that happen? You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Community Foundation in New Bedford. They're the organization that runs the AHA, but they had a big, in the summer, they have like a big 25th anniversary gala celebration. And I produced some, like a little film content for them. And that, but what was remarkable was they had this big gathering. They couldn't have people show up and they just sent people a link. And it was like an amazing 2-hour experience where I got to watch this whole gala from the safety of my home without having to worry about spreading COVID. So it was awesome. And that's what kind of inspired me to kind of try to get this going for January.
I want to go into the creator's mind a little bit. Was it when COVID first hit, did your mind or your brain start to say, you know, maybe there's an easy way out of this? Like, did you ever think to yourself, okay, well, I don't have to do all those on location things anymore. Like, I don't have to carry my equipment around and interview somebody. I guess I'll just resort to something else. Did you ever think that way? Sort of snap back and bounce out of it? How did you?
Yeah, of course. You know, when the pandemic hit, you know, it was just like, oh gosh, what do we do now? As a creator, I felt immensely depressed. I just felt like everything just shut down. I didn't have the drive to make posters. I didn't really have the drive to create anything. I just felt like everything, all the momentum and energy that I had was just like sucked out of me, you know? And then it was because of the artists that were part of our film. I started watching them and, you know, they're posting things on Instagram. They're doing like, you know, live Q&As, and now they're teaching people how to paint remotely. And I'm like, okay, you know what? This is inspiring. Like this, it really motivated me to like really think twice about my film and be like, no, we can do this. We can make this happen.
What other outlets did you turn to? Did you mix any of maybe like the virtual, I don't know, Zoom interview in this film, or do you plan on it just because of the restrictions we have?
Yeah. So we didn't shoot much in like March. And maybe even into the beginning of April. But then, you know, we got some guidance from the town, the city, who was like, you know, you can meet, but like, you gotta be social distant, all this stuff. So, and then at the time, Massachusetts had some new regulations saying, oh, well, you know, you can gather, but like in groups of like five or whatever. So I actually went out and met with a lot of these people while they're doing things, while the pandemic was like at the height. There were a few things that were kind of inspiring where we were able to get some access to people doing like a live stream or like some Zoom calls. We did get some of that, but most of our stuff was shot with people as they were kind of doing it.
What does a timeline for something like this take to produce? And I know you have a Kickstarter, so it obviously costs money. Give us the impact of the efforts it takes to get something like this done.
So we, you know, when we initially decided we wanted to do this project, we had to invest in some equipment to be able to produce this film in the 4K quality that I wanted. So we were able to pick up a camera and do that stuff. We shot almost 19 hours of footage. We have like 1900 clips. As in the in like March and April, I started editing, started crafting a story. So we it's there's an actual net like a three-part narrative that's in the film. And that's about like 45 to 60 minutes. It was extremely difficult because we had such great footage and we just can't include it all. So like that was hard. But so like the timeline, we've been editing. The film is close to like 85% done right now. Where I'm still trying to gather like an interview with Mayor Mitchell. It's been a little bit tougher to kind of like get our schedules to match to be able to chat with him. He's been kind of a busy guy. I don't blame him. So I'm trying to get him. And right now I'm in the process of trying to get the film kind of like color graded, which is like, you know, editing the color so it matches and helps tell the story. I'm trying to like do some of the audio editing. We're trying to hire a composer who can kind of like score some music for the whole hour. We have one like, we have two prototype songs that he wrote, and the music is just like outstanding. So we just can't wait to get that like squared away. And then majority of the funds goes to actually developing a virtual screening night. That's it's not a cheap endeavor. It'd be much cheaper to just go to the Zyterian Theater, rent out the studio, and then, you know, play it on their state of the art projector. But then again, we can't get people to gather. So we have to kind of do something virtually. So that there's quite a large cost associated with that we're trying to raise some funds for.
Hmm. Is that like a particular platform that filmmakers use for this kind of thing?
So since this happened, since the pandemic shut down, there's been like maybe 4 or 5, maybe even 6 websites that have come out exclusively to kind of capitalize on this notion of like bringing virtual film nights to an audience. So there's like a bunch of different platforms to do this. Right now we're trying to figure out like which one is probably the most intuitive to our audience. So there's just like all sorts of logistics that we're trying to figure out. But we've narrowed it down to 2 or 3 platforms. We're just trying to figure out which would be the best for our audience.
His website, DrewFurtado.com. If you go to DrewFurtado.com, you click on Restart 2020 in the upper navigation. It'll take you to the Kickstarter campaign for the project. I'm not going to hit play there right now because it's going to record into my podcast, but the trailer, right? Fair statement right there. The trailer will play. People can kind of see what it's going. We're at $3,200 out of the $9,000 goal with 20 days to go. So you're probably going to, once you get all the listeners of the We Are Here podcast to hear this, it'll probably quadruple for you. So, you know, congratulations, I hope. So anybody who's listening to this, go to drewfurtado.com, click on the Restart 2020 in the upper hand, or in the upper navigation. It'll take you to the Kickstarter page where you can donate. What's it like thinking about using Kickstarter versus selling tickets? Have you done this before where you've raised funding for a movie through Kickstarter? Have you gone like trying to sell the ticket route? And tickets being obviously like, this is still something that's, it's niche, it's unique. It's obviously not like going to buy a, you know, whatever, a $5 ticket somewhere. Like, have you ever thought about balancing the two?
Yeah. So I have done a Kickstarter before, not for a film, but it was for the poster campaign. And that was just awesome. And I thought about producing it for tickets, but it's the live stream platform requires a ton of capital to make it work. And I didn't want to risk losing an investment if I wasn't going to make that back up. Whereas if by kickstarting it, I can build an audience that would be super excited about this film, raise the capital to develop the film, and then I can share it with that particular audience. I do, once the Kickstarter is over, which ends on November 22nd, I would like to make it available, if it's successful, obviously, to everyone else that maybe missed the campaign that still wants to see it.
Good stuff, Drew. Thanks for taking the time today to tell your story about telling stories for others. We've already mentioned drewfurtado.com. Where else can folks connect with you? Do you have a better URL or a social media platform you spend most of your time on?
Yeah, that's probably the better, drewfurtado.com. Or you can follow me on Instagram at dfurtarts. That's another place where you can find a lot of my activity.
You have a new poster coming that you're working on behind the scenes right now?
I am working on a new poster. So I did recently develop a poster of New Bedford that I'm really excited about. This started kind of like once the pandemic lifted, I think maybe in early May, I started this poster, just finished it. And it's a poster of the New Bedford Whaling Museum, overlooking the New Bedford Harbor as the sun rises. I was really inspired by this idea that, the sun's going to rise again and everything will hopefully be better. So nice. I wanted to make a poster that did that. So that's actually one of the main rewards for the Kickstarter campaign is that poster. So I'm excited to share that with people.
Awesome. Hey, here's another idea for you. Maybe you can screen print some of these posters onto luxurious face masks that people can walk around with and sell them for $199 a pop. That'll start to increase your sales.
The idea crossed my brain, but I know nothing about screen printing.
Drew, it's been a pleasure. Everyone else, it's the We Are Here podcast, southcoast.fm, southcoast.fm/subscribe. Join the mailing list. It's number one way to stay connected. If you have a moment, 5-star review on iTunes really helps us get found. All right, we'll see you in the next episode.